For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Tonight and every Monday, Brandon Graham Show at 6 with me, BG, and Howard Eskin. And then the Players Lounge with Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shore Parks, and this week's guest, Jordan Mailata. We will have the Nick Sirianni press conference coming up for you in moments. The coach's press conference is sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com. 215-592-9490. Wait for the Nick Sirianni press conference, which I'm sure is going to go in the Press Conference Hall of Fame. Steve in Phoenixville. You're on WIP. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you doing? Spike, Ike, and Jack. How y'all doing?
There you go, all three of us.
What's up, Steve?
Yeah, it's hard to get in contact with you guys, man.
It really is.
Anyway.
215.
I have a problem with leaving. Huh?
Nothing.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you loud and clear.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm sorry. I mean, Spike, I hear your argument, but you don't leave points on the field. Points that you know that you can get, whereas though there's percentages of getting it one way to the other. That's what I'm looking at. You take the definite, man. I'm sorry. Like, simple as that.
Just so fourth and, let me ask you this, Steve. Fourth and three from the opponent's 30-yard line, first quarter.
Uh-huh.
You just kick the field goal.
Take the field goal, man. Just take the field goal.
You know
That's
what I would say
all.
To
That's
you?
Three points.
People keep saying you're leaving points on the field there. I think you're leaving 4 points on the field by not trying to get seven.
Listen, man, it wasn't a desperate situation, man. It wasn't a desperate situation. Just take the 3 points and regroup. That's all. 3 points would make that team feel a lot more stressful on their sideline than not getting points. Because when you don't get points like that, especially when they get a big stop, like Ike said, man, you get that team momentum. Momentum is everything, man. When they win that game, the minute they got up, you got to crush them, man.
Do you think if you convert a fourth down, it gives you momentum?
Yeah, it does. But
okay.
3 points.
And do you think going for it on fourth down makes the players on the offense think that Nick believes in them?
It ain't about believing, man.
It is about that.
Now, when you don't get it, that's disbelief. I'd rather have, like I said, the percentages, man. Listen, you want to go by the percentages, then kick the field goal, man. Make the 3 points. Get the three and keep it moving, man. Listen, just get the three and keep it moving.
I disagree with you. I mean, Steve,
I know, and I disagree with you.
I think the way that you're talking, you're going to end up with 12 points a game. I really do.
Listen, I really do.
This team is.
Listen. We was up already, so there was no need for us to go for the little tricky ball. Just get that 3 points, man, and get back to the sideline, regroup, and think about getting a touchdown the next time. We got three to sit on right now. You know what I mean? Let's stand pat, go back, and regroup.
Well, I hope you're counting on the defense to allow like 10, 11 points a game.
No, it's not that. It's the other teams, how they're thinking now. Now where they have to overcome, instead of overcoming, like, okay, let's say they was down 20 points. Now they got to try to overcome 23 points. That puts a lot of strain on the other team, man. I'm telling you.
Okay.
Yes, you want to dictate to the team how they play you, man. That's what you want to do, and you do that by scoring points. The minute they stop them, boom, that team got the momentum. I've seen it all too well, man. It happened to us last year.
Eight is more than seven, and eight is more than seven, two is more than one, seven is more than three. That is my math. That is my percentages. I appreciate the call, Steve. As we wait for Nick, what do we think of the game that Jalen played yesterday overall?
I thought it was a solid game. I thought if they're in the first half, you know, for about a quarter and a half, a little bit, almost two-thirds of the first half, that's a lot of math I'm giving you right there.
Yeah.
I thought it was choppy, right? We got the first score, great throw to Saquon. But then there were some times where he's holding the ball too long. You know, he took a sack here and there a couple times. He missed the throw to AJ that would have put points on the board.
The fourth down run.
Yeah, we're looking at a 10-0 game until Zach Bond gets that interception. Right? Like, I mean, it was 10-0.
Yeah.
And so as good as they had played in the first half, it was 10-0 at that point until we got that interception there. And then the unbelievable play coming off the Johnny Wilson push-off, where I think we're just trying to get in the field goal range. So they hand the ball off to Saquon, and he goes into the end zone untouched. He didn't even get touched going into the end zone. And that sort of – that gave us a lot of breathing room right there. I'll say this, because somebody pointed this out on Twitter, and I forgot about it, but I happen to agree with him. At that point, you got a chance to make it 17-0, right? You got a chance to make it 17-0. They go for two. It's 16-0. If they just kick the extra point there, 17-0.
Yeah, it's three scores.
Yeah. Saying when they score the other touchdown, when Jalen scores his,
Then
the extra point makes it 24-0. You don't have to go for two. So Nick started this whole chasing points thing by going for it when he didn't need to go for it. Again, not the fourth and three, but the two-pointer that he went for after the he went for two there to try to make it 18-0.
Yeah.
When it was unnecessary.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I agree. And by the way –
because he did that – he started chasing.
He had to go. Yes, later. And I. By the way, the reason that I think that you just take the one there is the same reason that I want to take the two later, because 17 is two scores and 24 is three scores. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jack, what do you think of the Jalen game?
He was fine. For a big thing.
Yeah.
He made. Listen, that throw he made to Devontae
on the crosser. Yeah, that was really good.
Not the damn crosser, the touchdown.
Sure.
The crosser was a lot easier. He's because he doesn't have the pressure on him. He's just throwing across the field.
Yeah, well, I'm just glad they finally are going under center and using that play, honestly. That's what made me happy.
Under center a lot again yesterday.
Yeah, I was going to say. He almost threw two picks, and one was start the game, and one was the Cisco right after the fumble. Mm-hmm. Got a little bail with that. But overall, the biggest thing that I think has changed for Jalen is he's running way better. And when he can be a threat with his legs, it makes up for some of the deficiencies in the passing game.
I thought he had a solid game yesterday.
He was solid.
Yeah, I thought he was good. He was fine. And he didn't turn the ball over. Now,
it's four straight.
He tried.
The one that got called back, the interception that got called back, the worst thing about that one was that he was trying to throw it to Devontae, who looked like wide open. And it looks like Devontae probably scores a touchdown on that. But he was so far, like, the throw was so.
They got an interception call back?
Yeah, didn't the guy that or
Cisco?
They, yeah,
I'm talking about that play.
Yeah,
where he dropped it.
Yes, where he dropped it in the middle of the field.
Gotcha, yeah.
But he had he was throwing it when he threw that ball. I actually couldn't see who he was even throwing the ball to.
Devontae was he overthrew him?
Yeah, he overthrew Devontae there.
Yep.
Nick Sirianni press conference coming up in moments. James in Philly, you're on WIP.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, James?
I want to speak on two things. Hurts playing and the coach. I think that when you up 22-0 and you got the momentum going, just go for the point. Go kick the point after, because you know we had our feet on their neck, and it's like we let up on it in the third quarter, allowed them to catch up. Now with Hurts, I noticed a lot that I'm going to give you an example first. Like Tom Brady or Mahomes, when they throw the ball, the receivers meet the ball. But what hurts is like if you're at the game, the receivers or tight ends, they will be open. And then it's like the defender would catch up, and then he would throw the ball. And people don't see that, but it's – I don't know. What's your opinion on that? If you guys ever been sitting up and actually seeing him operate?
So basically you think he waits to deliver the ball.
Right. He waits too long to deliver it.
Yeah.
I mean, people be screaming like, yo, throw it. then when he throw it, it's like, dude is all over his back. And, you know, I think people actually, when they're at the games, they get frustrated. That's why you hear all these booms.
Here's my thing with Jalen. I think I've sort of settled in on Jalen being a very good quarterback, but sort of an average of a thrower of the football. In other words, there's components of his games, the intangibles, his athletic ability, the ability to run. All those things sort of make him an above-average, very good quarterback, in my opinion. He's a top-10 quarterback, closer to 10, but he's around that range as a quarterback, in my opinion. And the intangibles play a part in there. But when you talk about his measurables and things like throwing with anticipation, that's where it's not that next level yet. It's just not there. But it doesn't mean you can't win with him. But it also shows you that there is a difference there. I like to compare it to Josh Allen, because Josh Allen has the same athletic ability, but he has a cannon for an arm.
Okay.
James, I think to Ike's point, it's almost like, because I'm sort of in a similar place where waiting for Jalen to do the things that you're talking about is almost like waiting for like Kirk Cousins to turn into a mobile quarterback.
Right.
Is that I think he can get better at these things, but he's never going to be the sort of thrower that those guys are. Now, the good thing is that he does make up for some of that with how he runs the ball. Mm-hmm. And if he can get better, there's a couple of little things I think he can get better.
And he has A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
Yes,
Jack.
Yeah. I know, but that helps.
Yes, it definitely helps.
It
cleans up a lot of any deficiencies.
It does. And John Dotson.
Big play, John.
Think that they just want to try to keep him in a pocket now, more so? Because that's taken away from, like I said, his other abilities.
When you say that, you mean defenses or
talking about the Eagles?
Oh, the coaches.
Yeah, the coach. Yeah, they want him to stay in the pocket. It seems like now, you know, because I think he went under center twice yesterday.
Oh, it was under more.
No, he was under center more than twice. Yeah. I actually think when he's in the pocket, it gives him a better chance to run than when they call a lot of the outside called run plays. His most successful runs are the called
up
ones.
The middle.
Oh, yeah, the called ones are the ones where he takes a step back, it looks like he's going to pass, and he just goes. Mm-hmm. Or if he's back there in the pocket, he decides that there's nothing there he wants to throw to, and he just goes. If he runs in the middle of the field, I think that's why sometimes he looks more explosive, because when he's trying to run around the end, he's not fast enough, so he looks slow. But when he's in the middle of the field, there's so much space, and he's a good athlete, so he almost looks faster when he runs. So I think sometimes when they put him in the pocket, and even when he's taking the ball under center, it gives him a better chance to run the ball than when they're trying to get him to the outside, because he's not the sort of athlete that Lamar Jackson is, or you know, or Justin Fields, or some of the really, really fast guys. So I actually think in the pocket it gives him a better chance to run, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, because I see if he stays back, and the line collapses on him, most of the time he gets sacked behind that instead of just throwing the ball away.
Oh no, that's on him. That's not the coaches. And boy, I yelled so loud. I was yelling at the radio because I left it happening. Yeah.
Thank you for the call, James.
I left it. Okay.
Oh, here is Nick Sirianni.
Hey, Nick. After the game, a lot of the guys talked about taking their foot off the gas and quotes like that, just how they maybe thought they had the game won when it was 22-0. Just wondering what you can do as a coach as you see that happening in those situations, what you can do to try to stop it and change that.
You know, I actually felt like our guys played with relentless effort the entire game. If you ever sense that, then you talk about it and you say, hey, you know, you say whatever you need to say to snap everybody back in. But at the end of the day, I feel like our guys, like, we have a tough physical football team that's not only physically tough, they're mentally tough. And part of being mentally tough is playing with relentless effort. So I felt like we were playing with relentless effort. Listen, a couple things, a couple fluky plays happened, and you know, it got him back in the game, and that's life in the NFL. That's life in football. And so I didn't feel that. I haven't talked to the guys about that. I know the guys would, you know, we talk about everything, so they come up and talk to me about that. And so we'll check back later on that. I just didn't feel that in the game. And like I said, sometimes you feel that and just like going through the motions. I just didn't feel that. I just felt like there was other things that that happened in that game that led to, you know, it being a tight game. But it's the NFL. There's going to be tight games.
Thank you.
We'll go to Dave and then Elliot.
Hey, Nick, when you went back and watched those two failed sneaks, what did you see there? And is there anything that would make you hesitate about calling that play again?
You know, obviously, we've been highly, highly productive on that play. You know, you make decisions like that, whether it's a fourth down decision or whether it's a two-point conversion from the one-yard line. You know, I think that every time we've had a two-point opportunity from the one, we've taken advantage of that and went for it. And that doesn't mean we've always gotten it, but we've went for it. So you trust your process in that scenario. You trust all the work that you've done to help you make that decision. You trust your players in that scenario. You know, I'm not going to get into the things that that Jacksonville did to stop that, but they obviously did a very, very good job, and credit to them. To stop a play that's been very successful. You know, you can't overreact again to a play that's had so much, as much of success as that's had the last 3 years. So we have a ton of confidence in it. And again, a play, you don't have confidence in a play unless you have confidence in a player, the players. And that's where it comes down to. But did we talk about things as an offensive staff on things that we could do better, wrinkles that we could have, different things that we could do off of it? Of course we did. That's our job as coaches. But, you know, you look at that and you think any time that you fail on something, it's an awesome opportunity for you to rise. And that's what I feel like we did today as a staff and then with the players. And we'll move on and get better from it.
Nick, you had said after the game you were going to take a look at some of the situational play calls you made, the two-point conversions, the fourth downs. I'm curious, after reviewing that, if you still feel those were the right decisions or if there is maybe one or two of those you want back.
Sure. Again, anytime it doesn't go how you want it to go, you're going to go back and look at everything. That's our job. Our job is to get better. If we want our players to get better, then we have to be in the mindset. You know, looking back on it and I'm thinking, would I do anything different? And to be honest, sometimes I say absolutely. In this particular case, I felt like we did the right thing in all those scenarios. And I understand that I'll always be judged on the outcome, not the process. But I have to make sure that I stick to the process. You know, same with the players and our preparation throughout a week. We always have to stick to our process. And we've been really good at that. And it's helped us win a lot of games. And so, again, it's a lonely place. It's definitely a lonely place when you don't convert a fourth down, because I'll always...
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Always take that on my shoulder. Shoot, if we, you know, always. But you know, at that time in that game and what we've done in the past, I was doing everything I thought to help our football team win the football game. And shoot, you know, I talked to the players about this a little bit, like, you know, 2 weeks ago, when I was explaining the fourth and three that we went for against the New York Giants, I circled the players and I said, I don't go for this unless I trust, you know, and I circled Jalen on the screen and I circled AJ on the screen and we converted. So you have that same trust. You trust, not only do you trust your process, but you trust your players. And doing those two things, trusting your process and trusting your players, has given us a good track record of it. But hey, it didn't work yesterday. It's a lonely place when it doesn't work. But again, I don't know any other solution than to trust those two things and always constantly try to get better.
We'll go to Jeff and then John.
Nick, Lane Johnson had a strong game. He didn't allow a pressure. He's talked a little bit about, you know, what he's done more as a leader in terms of being vocal, kind of picks his spots when he wants to. But it seems like this season in particular, he's done more so. He's done more of it, maybe perhaps because there's no more Jason Kelce. What have you seen from Lane in that regard? And what stands out in particular, you know, maybe even an anecdote about when he's come to you and spoke to you about something that he's felt passionately about?
Yeah, Lane, first of all, Lane played awesome yesterday against the real, I think number 44 for Jacksonville is a phenomenal football player, you know, and I thought Lane just did an awesome job against a really good player. It was great to see good player versus good player. I got so much confidence in Lane that, you know, he is a special, special, special player. And his play speaks for itself, and it's done that. You know, I've always, you know, seen him from afar, and then the 4 years I've been here, he's just been one of our best players at all times. Lane does a great job of leading by example. Lane does a great job of really, I always admire that Lane always points out to the scout team players how much they're helping him get better and how much they're helping us get better as a team. And I think that's you praise different people, you do different things like that, but I always admire that of Lane, of that how good he's been, encouraging those guys. I think anytime Lane comes off the field, he's got a great feel in game of when to make suggestions and why you're making those. You know, you can go back. There's a lot of different things that are said on the sideline, but Lane has a really good feel. You can see it in Lane's eyes, like, hey, we're going now. Let's go. I want this play or that play. When he's working, him and Mekhi had some combination blocks yesterday that were unbelievable. It was really exciting. Mekhi played a really good game also. And so you feel that from Lane coming off, and then you talk to him and he has great suggestions coming off of, hey, you know, and they're the guys, they're the ones out there playing the game. They're the ones out there feeling it. Like we might run a play based off a certain technique or a certain look or whatever it is. But you're not getting the look of exactly what it is of them out there. So I think Lane's awesome in that. He's been awesome in that, every year I've been here. And I think even more so now, his leadership continuing to take a rise. I think, again, just like Lane's been a good leader and a captain since I've been here. But, I see just an awesome leader that's continuing to get better at his craft. As a tackle and his craft as being a leader of this football team.
We'll go to John and then Tim.
Hi, Nick. In that sort of deep shot to Devontae, not the touchdown, but the 46 yarder, it was more traditional play action under center. Looked like Kellen's been setting that up for a couple weeks. How important, because you guys had success in Cincinnati, but it was more from the gun or, you know, play action from that standpoint. How important is it to get that more traditional look, or is it not?
Again, you try to marry things to look like the run game that you're doing. So if the run game that you're trying to marry a play action with is under center, then you do that. If a run game that you're trying to marry the action with is from the gun or the pistol, then you do that. If the run game, if it includes a motion, then you include that. So again, you're just trying to marry things and mesh things together to put as much deception in the mind of the defense as you possibly can. Great call by Kellen in that particular case. Well executed by our players. Jalen made a perfect throw. Smitty ran a perfect route and beat his guy. And the protection, again, it was a really good sell. So good job by Jalen in the back. And, again, you know, we had a it wasn't one-on-one this time that Jack Stoll was in, but he had help from EJ. And they did a great job on the edge against a really good rusher. I think it was a 44 there. And so they did a good job allowing Jalen. The pocket was firm. He allowed him to step up. And it was a big play in that football game to help us, you know, to help us turn the tide back and the momentum back in our favor. It was a really big, big play. Great call, great timing by Kellen, and then just great, well executed by our players.
We'll go to Tim and then Brooks.
Hey, Nick, what kind of update can you give us on AJ? And then, and also, it looked like Saquon maybe was working through something. What can you tell us there?
Yeah, we'll see as the week progresses. Bummed anytime you don't have AJ in the game because he's such a great player. But we'll see how it goes. Haven't got with the medical staff today yet. I'll get with them a little bit later today. But, you know, AJ was in good spirits today. We'll see how it goes.
And Saquon?
Same. Yeah, he obviously was in playing. And so we'll see how the week progresses.
Go to Brooks and then Bob.
Hey, Nick. Last week, whenever you were talking about Kellen, you said that you see him in the film, like watching film late. And some of the ideas, like you talked about the 3rd and 17 call yesterday. Whenever you see him working on plays like that, how far does he go back? What's maybe this one of the stranger ideas that he's presented to you and kind of the source of his creativity?
Yeah, I think, Kellen's a former quarterback. Every quarterback that I know goes back, they'll go back endless amount of times against a certain opponent or a certain style of defense or a certain situation. And, I've seen film from Dallas, I've seen with Kellen, I've seen film from the Chargers. I've seen practice film from both those teams that he showed us. And I've actually seen a couple plays from Boise. I think that, he'll go back to get a look to be able to coach the guys and paint the picture to the offensive staff of what he wants. I admire that, like, because, you know, that's – you always got to paint a picture. Like, you can draw it on the board and do, explain it. But everything comes to life with a picture. And that's how we try to coach our guys. And Kellen does that and leads the offense through that.
We'll go to Bob and then Zach.
Hey, Nick. Lane said yesterday he felt like you guys could have put up 40 points in that game. You guys have had three games now, I guess, Cleveland, New Orleans, and now this one where you really dominated the game statistically, and yet it came down to the wire. How do you view games like that when you really dominate a game statistically, but you sweat it out to the end?
Yeah, I don't like sweating it out. It's hard. That's always tough. You want to be able to put teams away, be able to pull away like we did against Cincinnati, be able to pull away like we did against the Giants. There's different, I studied that a bunch of 4-minute football or end of game blown leads or anything like that. We've talked a lot about that and studied that a bunch. There's a lot of different theories and philosophies that I have. One of them is always going to come down to, turnovers. And being able to give them a quick score or short field when you do have a lead like that, other things that go into that. I'm, again, not going to get too much into it, but I'll give you a couple things. Another thing that goes into it is, explosive plays against your defense, and so you still want to be aggressive and you still want to play football. Like, you don't go into 4-minute, it's called 4-minute football for a reason. So you don't go into that. Different times you go into that based off the score and this and that, but you don't go into that too early because that puts you down. I think that we've been good at winning games in these scenarios when we've had 2-score leads. I don't know exactly what the records are. Is it always the prettiest? No. Yesterday wasn't the prettiest, but they came back. Credit to them. They took advantage of a mishap that we had and got back into the game. You're doing everything you can do to win the game in that time, whether you're trying to shorten it while still being aggressive or shorten it all together. But again, I think we've been pretty good with two score leads in the second half. You guys would have to tell me. But, you know, yesterday, obviously, you'd like to pull away, but that, you know, they're professionals, and, you know, they did a good job to close back into that game.
We'll go to Zach and then Chris.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. I know Tuesday is the game planning day, but what was the reaction in the office today when the Dak Prescott news came out? And what value is Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier this week, given the knowledge they have on the personnel and some of the scheme there in Dallas?
Sure. You always think about the help you get from different guys that have been with different coaches, whether that's a player, whether that's a coach. So we'll use that throughout the week. As far as the Dak news, you know, we'll see what happens. I know there's the long thing that can, a lot of things that can happen. I have so much respect for the Cowboys and the how good they've been over the past, you know, since I've been in this division. They've won 12 plus games every year. And I got a lot of respect for their coaches and their players, and I know it's going to be a dogfight.
We'll end with Chris and then Bo.
Afternoon, Nick. In terms of when it can be nerve-wracking time when the trade deadline is coming up, how do you approach dealing with a player whose name is popping up all the time in potential trade rumors or what have you, and how do you go about addressing that?
I'm sorry, Chris, say that again. With one of our players that is on it?
Yeah, if there's a player that whose name pops up in trade rumors and out there and stuff like that, how do you approach dealing with that player?
Yeah, again, I don't pay too much attention to it because, again, I know everything that's going on in our building with the communication that Howie and I have. So, you know, the only way I would find that information out if I was scouring the internet for it, unless it was something that Howie and I had discussed. And so we like our team. We like where we are. I don't dive too much into that. Maybe I should to help players get through that. But, you know, I urge them not to read things and get involved in that and control the things they can control. So I try to do the same.
I think that was it. Right, Buzz? We're done?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. There it is. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. That was the, I don't know why I'm talking like this.
Well,
it's very smooth.
Always.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, the official sponsor of the Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Start your holiday shopping at marks-jewelers.com. The question is, Nick Sirianni's in-game management of a big issue for the Eagles, or is it being blown out of proportion? 26% say it's been blown out of proportion. I tried to vote more than once, but yep, it wouldn't let me.
You and Elliot.
So the final question there about how coaches and players handle trade deadline talk, mm-hmm, is particularly interesting. Jack, you said there is a rumor out there about one of the Eagles players?
Yeah, Tom Pelissero on Rich Eisen show saying that Bryce Huff is a name to watch about possibly being traded tomorrow.
So have the other teams watched him? I'm wondering.
Let's hope not.
Yeah.
Well, and how much of that salary are we going to have to eat?
Yeah, I mean,
well, probably this year for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so Huff only played 6 snaps yesterday. When they asked Sirianni after the game, instead of saying it's because he's not very good, he did say during warmups he mentioned that his hand was bothering him. Now, Bryce Huff is a defensive lineman and not a wide receiver or a quarterback. It seemed kind of curious, but you have to wonder if part of the reason why he only played 6 snaps is if they're – I'm sure they would love to have somebody take him off their hands, especially – I think they have $14 million in cap space this year. So if they are looking to add somebody at the deadline with a significant salary, they will probably need to clear it somewhere, and Bryce Huff seems like the obvious one there. The trade deadline being 4 p.m. tomorrow. So
yeah, I'd be shocked if somebody wanted to trade for Bryce Huff.
Yeah,
I'd be shocked.
Unless somebody has the scheme that is absolutely perfect for him, I can't figure that either.
What is the scheme? Stay on the outside and just rush the quarterback.
Yeah, but even doing that, he hasn't been able to do here, so I can't figure that. Maybe the Jets, I don't know.
Yeah.
But so, you know, trade deadline, almost exactly 24 hours from right now. It is, mm-hmm, 4 p.m. tomorrow. So instead of we were actually going to do a full-on election show tomorrow, but instead of doing the election show, we're going to talk about the trade deadline.
Oh, yeah.
So
forgot.
Really?
PSA, make sure you get out there and vote.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
I couldn't believe Howard came on today, and he did a whole
Oh, no.
Oh,
Goat
really?
Thing, yeah.
Howard did?
Yeah.
Oh. What a hero.
Well, Midday Show.
He's deflecting because
he didn't endorse anybody. Right, so, yeah, right. He didn't endorse anybody. He said it's important to get out and vote.
No. Wow, look at the PSA from Howard.
What? Now, what worm is that?
Oh, Does the White House have a worm, or does the
Howard?
Yeah,
Howard.
Tell everyone to vote.
You're so influential.
Yeah, you can change it. It's your American responsibility. Yeah. Well, coming up at 4 o'clock, 5 at 4, Donovan McNabb joins us.
Five.
Would love to ask
his thoughts on yesterday's game.
Yes. Well, I would love to ask Five about the Nick Sirianni decision making specifically, and this came up with a conversation mm-hmm. with one of the callers about what it says to your players when you go for it, especially on the offensive side, because you know Nick has to make the decision independent of that about whether it's a good idea. But I do think my gut tells me that the offensive players like going for it.
Yeah, I can tell you. The defensive players aren't that happy about it.
Right, because it puts more on the defense potential.
I mean, when you don't, you can make the defense's job a lot easier by just adding points.
Right, right.
Like, so
that is one of the reasons maybe why you're so passionate about it.
Yes.
You have been it. Yeah.
Well, most of us are like yes. Seth Joyner and all of us. Yes.
Oh yeah, I saw Seth's.
Yeah, that's our thought process. There is like, yeah, I understand how you're looking at it from an offensive standpoint. But over on the defensive side, it's like, yeah, make their job a little bit easier.
Yeah, sure. Seth did not agree with Elliot's grade, by the way.
Yeah, I heard. Elliot gave him an A-. And even me, who was arguing for Nick, I think that may have been aggressive grade, slightly aggressive. So your calls the rest of the show, 215-592-9494, on Nick's decision-making and the win. You are permitted to call us and tell us how happy you are.
We did have a win. We are 6-2.
Outstanding.
Spike.
I'm happy.
We are 6-2.
Spike's the wrong one to attack on that one.
Wait,
no, he's not.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
I'm happy.
You don't sound it.
No, I'm mad at everyone who's not happy.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. All right. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.